Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. If any participant has had difficulties or any trouble either accessing today's conference, please email Sarah Molnar at smolnar@us.ibm.com. Once again, if any of the participants experience any trouble or difficulties accessing today's conference, please email Sarah Molnar at smolnar@us.ibm.com. Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants' lines are in a listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'd like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Rick Reinberg, for the IBM Tivoli Role Modeling and Role Management Assistance Program.
Great. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Again, this is Rick Weinberg. For those of you that don't know me, I work in product management for Tivoli Security, focus on Tivoli Identity Manager as well as some of our IAM governance initiatives. And today I'm really excited to be walking you through an overview of our role modeling and role management assistance that we released this past week and is a continued example of our investment in this particular growth area in around identity and access management. And I think we'll showcase how we can continue to solidify and expand our Tivoli Security portfolio within our customer setting. Before I get started, just a couple of housekeeping items. This is being recorded right now, and it will be recorded through to you tomorrow and then, for the actual Tivoli talk. I had a conflict in my schedule. However, there will be a live Q&A, which I will and or some additional subject matter experts will be attending. So as you have questions, we'll have those following on here. If there are other comments or questions you have, please feel free to contact me at richwein@us.ibm.com or my colleague, Luis Casco Arias at Casco, C-A-S-C-O, at us.ibm.com. I also will be walking you through the slides, so I'll mention which chart I'm going through, and so let's go ahead and get started. Going on to slide two. So just, well, today I want to provide an overview of context so you can understand, and some of you may have seen this, but just to make sure that you are in line with why we're investing in this space, and particularly what we're defining as identity and access management governance, really is a key business and policy layer that exists upon the identity and access management infrastructure that many of our customers have, and certainly this area of role management directly plays a critical role there. Then we'll walk into some of the specific features and functions of the role modeling and role management assistance. Talk a little bit about the packaging and entitlement surrounding these and some key frequently asked questions that you may want to consider. And then finally, ending up with a roadmap on where we're going and how these fit within our 2010 roadmap and beyond. So going on to slide three, you know, just for, again, for some context, as we go to market within Tivoli Security across these three solution sets, this particular piece, the role management and role modeling assistance, will ultimately fall within the Identity and Access Assurance bundle, but you'll find out later that these are both entitled to our Tivoli Identity Manager customers today. Going on to slide four, just want to provide a little bit of background. When we look at Identity and Access Assurance in the market and have talked to our customers, spoken with analysts and business partners, we continue to see that the drivers around this particular space have remained consistent. Governance, risk, and compliance, cost reduction typically through automation, eliminating those manual tasks that many of our customers have, as well as security itself, continue to be the major drivers for why our customers are purchasing these solutions. But what we have seen, as you go on to slide five, is some customers still experience some pain with the solutions that are out there. Now, this is not an IBM statement, but a market statement. And really, as you look at that, there's some of the key things that we've taken away and we're looking at as we look to improve and enhance upon our portfolio and things you'll see that we've done to address this. On the user provisioning area, there's tremendous amount of value that user provisioning products have today. But certainly as the number of users increase or as the number of targets that you look to manage or customers look to manage increase, the complexity can increase. And certainly there are things like role management and entitlement management that can really help deliver an abstraction to manage that administration and really improve the visibility of access. In the web access management realm, certainly we have a number of customers that are leveraging single sign-on, and there's some tremendous value there. You know, however, we're starting to see some additional instances of where, you know, when these solutions in particular don't offer a business context where they can stipulate maybe time of day or location that a user is coming in from, or maybe even some sort of metadata classification just says that this is classified information. Not being able to assign that business context has eliminated the adoption, or I shouldn't say eliminated, but reduced the adoption of, you know, access management and the access control policies within many of our customers' infrastructures. And certainly things like entitlement management can help alleviate that. When we also look at security becomes more and more exposed to the business, we see that, you know, there are many of our customers are looking for ways with which to manage inherent conflicts that may exist for user access across their business processes. Certainly separation of duties can help manage that, whether it be a person issuing checks, you know, therefore can't cash them at the same time. Looking at the access certification is an example of where, you know, compliance being a major driver for many of our customers, they're looking for a continuous way with which to validate user access and make sure that that user who they've given access still needs it. However, it's not just a question of making sure you have a process in place to track that. Many of our customers need to make sure that that's automatically integrated with their user provisioning solutions so that that access can be revoked if necessary. And then, of course, any security information event management, major reason for why we have evolved our identity and access management portfolio into an identity access assurance is that very reason to ensure that we have closed-loop user activity monitoring so that customers can not only, you know, have the confidence of having the access administered and enforced, but users can actually know how those users are using the applications themselves. So the log collection is good, but, you know, having that integrated, you know, so you can have suspension of access based on some sort of abnormal activity is much better. And I think overall what we're seeing is that our customers are seeking for much more of a policy-based governance around identity access management, and certainly when you look at the market today, we see it as being quite fragmented, and this is something that we're trying to rectify. Going on to slide 6, I want to just give you an example here of where we see identity and access management governance in action, and really we see this as providing a key bridge between business and IT as security becomes more exposed out of IT and into the business itself, and this is, can be done with role management, entitlement management, and these other areas in particular. So Susan, who's the user here, gets assigned the role of emergency room nurse. As being a part of that role as well, she gets assigned to a number of application roles, say, that are assigned to those applications, the radiology application, the admission, discharge, and transfer application. What we find here is that many role management solutions out there today often associate entitlements with the group membership on that radiology application. And while there's value there, no question, there's also an assumption that's being made. And that is that there is the native access control policy on that application is being properly administered and properly enforced. And so we have some customers who are really looking to have some of their authorization to those applications externalized and centrally administered and centrally enforced so that you can have this fine-grained entitlement management where you can stipulate time of day, location, to an entitlement management policy, and that in itself can be associated to the roles that users are being assigned. So in the end, you have a really end-to-end governance because you not only does Susan get assigned to a set of business and application roles, but she can be assigned a set of entitlement management policies that stipulate that fine-grained enforcement and authorization. And when you look at some of these other areas, you know, certainly privileged identity management is a really big area that many of our customers are interested in. And it really is viewed in sort of three lenses, if you will. One, the administration of non-personal accounts, these shared IDs or custodial IDs and application IDs. But then it's a question of also looking at how you maybe provide more access control and user activity monitoring over those privileged users those root users or DBAs or even C-level officers that are deemed privileged in our customer's organization. And, of course, separation of duties and access certification certainly drive a tremendous amount of governance as these pull together to form really this IAM governance layer that we see converging. As you go on to slide 7, you'll see how we see these pieces in particular converging over time into this IAM governance layer. And if you hit the button down again, you'll see how we've really defined this identity and access assurance market itself, deemed to have evolved based on these two additions. First, the IAM governance layer that sits on top of that existing user provisioning and access management infrastructure that many of our compliants have in place today, but also the security information and event management, which is critical to many of our customers' desires and needs for their IAM infrastructure, because they want to have that sense of assurance to know that users are actually using the applications the way that they expect it. But I think the key thing here also is that the effective way to deliver this is managing it through policy. You know, there's a tremendous amount of buzz in the marketplace around role management today, and rightly so. There's a great value there. But I think what often is overlooked is that this isn't all managed through roles. Roles are an object through which policy is delivered. And so it's a question of making sure that you have separation of duty policies, entitlement management policies, access certification policies that can be combined and integrated, leveraging roles to manage this for our customers as they look to have more governance over their existing identity and access management infrastructure. Going on to slide 8, I want to provide just some context into how this fits within our overall IAM governance vision. And you'll see some ensuing slides here that will map this vision to products, so you can see how this is unfolding today and into the future. I think what's critical here is up top is this policy and role modeling layer, where many of our customers are looking to ensure that they can define and model roles and policies that can translate what their user access requirements are to their business processes. And this is really this conduit between the business and IT that would, you know, tended to have some misinterpretation or when you would try to expand upon this before, and IT would often have to make some assumptions on what was required. And so there'd be a lot of gaps that would surface. And frankly, in the past, other role management solutions or projects that were tried to have more of a technical focus weren't very successful. And really what we're finding is that the collaboration between the business and IT is so essential, and that this policy and role modeling area where customers can really begin to refine and model what their policies and roles should be like and simulate them ahead of time is of tremendous value, so that they can in turn then deploy them out into production. But they also have an opportunity to manage these in an ongoing life cycle as well. So it's not only the initial creation and modeling and simulation, but the ongoing life cycle management of those policies and roles. Now, of course, as you define that, then it's a question of making sure that the operational management products can consume those and apply the access as appropriate. On the left, with identity management, particularly to be able to provision user access rights as needed and to certify access for the assignment of users to those access rights. And, of course, the entitlement management side, being able to not only administer but also enforce those fine-grained entitlement management policies that can stipulate, you know, time of day or location and ensure that they can apply the context that's needed. And then ultimately the ability to associate those entitlement management policies to the roles that are being ultimately managed and governed in operation under TIM in the identity management setting. And finally, the user activity monitoring piece is a critical component, not only to be able to deliver that, you know, key reporting modules that many of our customers are seeking, but as a fantastic feedback loop into the overall policy and role structure that has been defined. So now I want to take a minute and go into detail, in particular, how these role modeling and role management assistants fit into this overall IAM governance strategy. So first, let's look at our current functionality. This is expanding, and I'll really just be focusing again on the role modeling and management assistant here for the remainder of the deck. But just as an important reiteration here of some of the value we provide around role management. Certainly, TIM and TSIM can deliver some value around operational role management, and even as a means with which to provide some reports that can give an indication of how users are using their access during the role analysis phase. On the entitlement management side, certainly Tivoli Security Policy Manager fits in this realm. We've got tremendous and robust capabilities around access certification that is provided within TIM, as well as separation of duty capabilities, which also are complemented with our separation of duty and entitlements analyzer that's out there for our TIM and TAM customers. And then lastly, the privilege identity management. We have several solutions that deliver value on the notion of being able to manage those non-personal accounts and those non-personal IDs. We have a managed service offering from our strategic outsourcing, a part of IBM, that helps manage shared IDs, and this is something you'll see coming out in our roadmap here in 2010 as well. And, of course, for the access control, you have TSPM for OS, as well as, which includes TAMOS, as well as TSIM, to be able to provide the access control and user activity monitoring for those privileged users. Again, just a repetitive, but just want to make sure you understand the scope and breadth of our capabilities as it applies to IAM governance today. So as we look at 2009 and finishing out this year, you know, certainly we've had, you know, a successful release of TIM 5.1 in June, which introduced operational role management as a, you know, an embedded capability within the TIM platform. And also just last week, we've introduced the role modeling and role management assistance, you know, that will really complement TIM 5.1 in particular quite well. In addition, we have a policy design tool that's available today on AlphaWorks that has very tight integration with TSPM for policy modeling and really assists in the translation of business requirements as it applies to those fine-grained entitlement management policies. And, of course, later on we'll showcase some more roadmap items on how these will be brought together in our 2010 release. So let's look at the role modeling assistant. In particular, the role modeling assistant before is really focused on the engineering and modeling and of roles themselves, helping our customers build these from the outset and ensuring that they have the means with which to collaborate with their business stakeholders prior to releasing these roles and getting approval for them into production. So as you can see on slide 12 here, in particular, we have this role modeling assistant. The key here is making sure that, you know, as our customers are looking to engage in role engineering, is striking the balance between collecting bottom-up inputs and top-down inputs. And in other words, an organization is not just relying upon pulling from their existing data sets, you know, and assuming that they're valid. You know, I would say most successful role management engagements really take more of a collaborative approach, where the bottom-up gives a reflection of the access levels that users currently do have, and a top-down approach of interviewing with key line-of-business stakeholders gives a picture into what users should have. But really, it's a collection of both what users do have and what they should have, and marrying those during the engineering effort to ensure that the information and the roles that are being built upon have a proper combination of those two and therefore can sustain the modeling process once they've been engineered and are into production. Going on to slide 13, this just shows you, so once you've actually imported the data from both the bottom-up and top-down within the role modeling assistant, then customers will have the means with which to perform some analysis. In this instance, they want to be able to do a data search and query of the identity and entitlement data that's been collected so that they then can now, once they've got that information in there, really begin through filters and some visual graphics, start to perform some pattern analysis for role creation itself, ensuring that they can indeed identify where are some of the commonalities and comparative, you know, the commonalities across inputs and attributes that have been pulled in, so that ultimately they can marry those different attributes into the form of both a business role and application role that can be applied. We also offer some of the customization of role schema for customer-specific attributes. I mean, when you look at this, we talk about identity attributes. This is a question of being able to pull in, you know, things like organizational unit and job code, which are pretty standard. You know, but there may be some specific other, whether it be identity attributes or entitlement attributes that a customer may want to look to and manage as they leverage that to define their roles, and we offer the means with which the customers to bring that in. Now, from an engineering standpoint, once the customer has gone through this process of evaluating the input that's there, performing some search analysis on that information to begin to check for patterns and compare, then it's a question of being able to create those roles and being able or change them if it's already an established role structure. And you know, our customers can either leverage a flat architecture or a hierarchical one, where you would apply inheritance for the role structure that's being built. And really, at that point in time, it's a question of making sure that customers can perform the role mapping by associating the entitlements, essentially those application roles that govern collections of permissions, with those business roles that have been defined that represent more collections of users. And so, again, this is not something that just happens in one sitting. It's often going to be an iterative process for which that the role administrator, who either would be an individual at the customer themselves, you know, or maybe even a system integrator helping them do this, is going to often be going back and forth with the actual lines of businesses and relevant IT stakeholders to make sure what they have created is in line with basically the information they originally had collected. Once that's been done, then it's a question of being able to export this role structure either directly to TIM 5.1 or to the role management assistant, and I'll expand upon what value that will provide here in just a minute. We offer both based on how customers want to manage this. Now, the role modeling assistant here, and as you go to slide 14, here's an example of the screenshot. I just want to just give you a quick sampling here just to point out a couple of things that you'll see. As you hit down one button in the projects tab in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see that we allow customers and system integrators to work on multiple projects, whether it be multiple customers or even different business units inside one customer. As you hit down again, in the identity comparison view on the right side, lists all these user attributes and group memberships that often translate into entitlements, within the native application. And the idea here is you can see that you'll be able to not only set filters to identify a subset of results across each of these attributes, but then you also have a colored bar there on just next to those filters. And that colored bar, really gives customers an indication of commonality. So they can, as they actually were able to click on that bar, it would provide an indication, of, say, that for the postal address, say, 70% of those users that have been brought in, those user attributes, that, this case, they share that common postal address. In this case, it maybe looked like USA, of having the common country there. But you can see how, as you apply that to those different attributes and as you filter those out, you can begin to really identify what are some of the commonalities that exist here, whether it be from a user or whether it be from a set of permissions that apply to group membership. Now, in addition, as you hit down again, you'll see in the lower left-hand corner this role tree view. Now, this gives you the customers a view into the role hierarchy itself that they've been building. So, in this instance, you have a set of roles that fall within the JK Healthcare division. And on the right, if you hit down one more time, you have a role description. So in this instance, the physician role has been highlighted, and it will give you not only a name but a description, a version that's being tracked, as in some instances customers, want to make sure that they can, save different versions of a role definition in particular before it's actually sent out to, say, the role management assistant or to TIM. Into production. So, speaking of which, as you go into slide 15, I want to comment on the role management assistant now. In particular, this derives more around the governance of role and policy definitions. So, as our customers look to leverage the role modeling assistant to define and engineer these roles, they then have the option to export those over to the role management assistant to gather the relevant approvals and assign role owners and approvers so that our customers can sign off on those role definitions and establish a certification policy for review on an ongoing basis, at which point then they're exported into TIM. So really the key values you see in this graphic here is you can import, whether it be, from the role modeling assistant or a file itself, at which point then the role administrator can validate that those roles are effective, maybe edit them in description if necessary, at which point they can either save them as a draft or ultimately assign and define a workflow with which they can establish key approvals, whether it be from the role owner or a collection of the approvers. And, you know, I think one of the things as you go on to the next slide here that's really important is we've talked to customers, as you see this user interface snapshot of the role management assistant, is that there may be instances of where you have not only many role owners, but you also may have a subset of approvers within a role package. And so in this case, you know, we want to be able to have not only simple but also advanced approval structures so that you can stipulate, you know, how many additional approvals you may need within the given, you know, role package. So together, these two deliverables are really going to help our customers in the process of not only defining roles up front, but managing the life cycle of those role definitions over time, and then tightly integrate with TIM itself so that as you have actually, you know, defined these roles and gotten validation and approval on what you've defined, that then consume them to make sure that the user access rights are provisioned accordingly. So let's look a little bit more detail here about how the role management and role modeling assistants are ultimately going to be delivered to our customers and you know, who's actually entitled to use them. Let's go on to slide 18 here. From a packaging standpoint, both the role modeling and management assistants are available via beta program. The role modeling assistant, to begin with, right now is available via managed beta program, and the second code drop, which we're targeting for mid-November, will be available via open beta program. The difference primarily being is that the open beta, any TIM customer can get access to the open beta program, whereas a managed beta program is something that we are just managing the attendees and who can participate in those. So if you have a customer in the meantime who is interested in the role modeling assistant, you'll see in the entitlement area just a bullet below, I've got contact information for all of us for those who refer customers to. Now, the role management assistant will be available from the outset as part of an open beta program. And actually, for both the role modeling and management assistant, there's a link there for you to go to where the customer can follow directions on getting access to that code, provides a little bit more description on what's being provided, and ultimately be able to download the code appropriately. Now, we expect both beta programs to be available to our customers for roughly about a year. Now, if this is actually quite unique in that we typically in the past only offer beta programs, you know, a few months prior to release of a product. However, given the importance that this functionality has and the fact that we really believe that there's some value that customers can get early on, we wanted to expose this functionality to make it available to our customers and our system integrators early on. So not only can they get some of this value, but they also have a means with which to shape that project or product well ahead of time. And, you know, we have been working with an early access program where we have a subset of customers and business partners who've been providing feedback to these deliverables themselves. And we'll continue to leverage that as we get beta customers here going forward. Now, this beta code itself, after that year, will be removed for the GA of a new product. Because it's very important that you understand that the role modeling assistant and role management assistant are future feature sets of a new product to be released in 2010, and this new product will be separate from TIM, separate from TSPM, separate from TSIM, but will function as an independent entity, though will be, you know, focused directly in integrating with those products, particularly as we start out. So who's entitled to the role management and role modeling assistance? Well, it's not only Tivoli Identity Manager customers, but also Tivoli Security System Integrators who are we're looking to participate. In addition to that, really, it's going to be customers who are in the process of being deployed or already deployed on TIM 5.1. So keep that in mind and leverage that as a means to help encourage upgrading to that version in the process. Now, from a support standpoint, as customers look to leverage some of this functionality, we will offer a quick play support, which offers a discussion forum that will be actively monitored by our development teams for both the role modeling and management assistant. And frankly, access here is really equivalent to a direct link to level 3. We are very, aggressive in making sure that we are keeping a pulse on what is the feedback that we're seeing from customers on these particular deliverables. And so we will make sure that this forum is being managed and monitored, you know, very closely. You also will be able to leverage QuickPlace as a means with which to download the beta code and any sort of software updates that it will follow, and also an opportunity to get some documentation to aid during the installation and configuration of these beta deliverables. So going on to 19, let's just address a couple of key aspects here on some, for example, the platform support. So to start here, the rule modeling assistant is going to be Windows only to begin with. And that the reason for that is actually it's delivered through an Eclipse-based thick client with which to perform that modeling capability. Certainly we see as these fold together, it will be a combination of likely of a client and server platform in 2010. But for the role modeling piece, it's just going to be that client-based thick client to begin with. The role management assistant you can see there will be available on Unix, Linux, and Windows. And in terms of the targets that are to be supported, this is really important to note. So to begin with, LDAP, Active Directory, and Tivoli Identity Manager will have direct links to both the role modeling and management assistant. So you'll be able to not only import the key data from those two directories in TIM, but also export back out to them. We also provide the means with which to manage additional applications that our customers are going to have. We certainly recognize that those three are not going to be representative of what our customers are going to be seeking to pull in information for to govern their overall infrastructure. And to begin with, we're going to provide that through a CSV file so that as long as customers have an application that can port some user and entitlement data to a CSV file, we'll be able to pull that information in and apply it appropriately within either the modeling or management assistant. Who are some of the ideal candidates? I think in particular, we want to look first, obviously, at TIM customers who are deployed or will be deployed on version 5.1, and are actually really looking for role modeling and lifecycle management. And I think it's important to point out these betas are not really going to be, offering this, enterprise scalability itself. But I think what we are realizing is that really shouldn't deter you from utilizing these in a sales capacity because, frankly, many customers are looking to build roles within one business unit to start or in a very small pilot-like effort to gather some success before they roll it out to their entire enterprise. And so keep that in mind as you go forward here and look to leverage customers in the process. Another example is through white space customers. So if those are customers that are particularly interested in what we're doing in and around role management, this provides an excellent opportunity to give them a glimpse into what we're offering, as well as, should they be interested in TIM as well, as an opportunity to participate in the beta. And additionally, when we look at system integrators, certainly want to seek their input. I think an important point here is that, as you may know, there's a tremendous amount of services that are often incurred during this process of building roles for an organization. And so what we offer and what we're looking for is really to have our system integrators really embrace these tools to begin with and leverage them as they look to build out roles in the process and certainly see this as an opportunity not only for our existing Tivoli Security business partners, but also those ones from Oracle and Sun that we're trying to capitalize on given the indecision that's out there in the marketplace around the acquisition. So how does this affect our current role management technology partners? Functionally, when we look at these beta programs, or both the modeling assistant and management assistant, there is a direct overlap with the partner offerings, and certainly we should pursue these modeling and management assistants first before partnering. However, continue to work with SailPoint and Avexa in particular opportunistically, because there may be instances where they ever have a solid customer relationship. Maybe the customer only works with GA code, something along those nature, where you would still need to maintain that relationship. But keep in mind, we're delivering some key functionality here that's going to have direct overlap, and frankly, it should be pursued first before partnering. So where can our internal IBMers get access to the code? I guess it's a redundancy there. It's just where can IBMers get access to the code? In particular, we're going to be updating this week our Tivoli demo library, which will have the VM images of both role modeling and management assistants so that those can be leveraged for you to play with, and as particularly some of the pre-sales folks out there are looking to introduce this to customers, you'll have an opportunity to play around with this a bit so we can showcase these capabilities. But I want to take a minute as we go into the next slide 20 here and talk a little bit about the roadmap of how we see this coming together in 2010, and then there's just a few calls to action on next steps. Going on to 21, as we see this, again, as our IAM governance vision unfolding in 2010, you'll see that there's no surprise with TIM, TSPM, and TSIM there falling into the relevant bucket. But as I mentioned earlier, both the modeling and management assistant, along with the policy design tool, and some additional functionality will be combined into a new product, which is yet to be named. So as you go... Well, and actually, in the next slide, I have filtered out because it was of its confidential nature. So just if you can listen on the phone, I'm going to talk you through, actually, what are going to be some of the proposed roadmap content for some of these new products that we're going to have unfolding in 2010. So in the new product that on slide 21 there, that's at the top, the new product that will provide a role in policy modeling, we will be incorporating the role modeling assistant content, the role management assistant content. We also have some role mining functionality. We have our research folks doing a tremendous amount of aggressive research and development around our role mining capabilities that we'll be incorporating into the product. Now, it's important to point out that this role mining, the difference really is role mining and versus what's in the role modeling assistant. The role mining really automates the process of suggesting roles. The role modeling assistant provides role administrators a means with which to perform analysis and filter out and compare and contrast how those roles can be created themselves in the process, whereas the role mining algorithms do it for them, just an FYI. But we'll be adding that role mining piece into the 2010 content. We'll also be including some key policy modeling and lifecycle management content that, as I mentioned earlier, would also apply to incurring the policy design tool capabilities. And then finally, really some key user and entitlement data cleanup capabilities to ensure that the data that's being built upon is effectively clean so that the role structure being leveraged can be relied upon going forward. In addition to that, we will also be having a TIM.next release, which will be focusing on the TIM and TSPM integration. So as those roles and entitlement policies become married together, you can have that end-to-end governance. We'll also be delivering some web services improvements. There are many customers who've sought the exposure of the web services WSDL wrapper that's out there today for Tibia Identity Manager and making sure that that can get productized. And then also being able to have some tighter integration with our service management portfolio, particularly Tibia Security or Tibia Service Request Manager. Those are just a few examples. There are a number of other items and enhancements that we're making through TIM in the process, but those are some proposed content items as we looked on TIM for as we look to close plan out here towards the end of the year. Of course, there's going to be additional release of TSPM.next, which will also provide integration around TIM and TSPM, and also some more enhancements around our data level, fine-grained entitlement management. TSIM.next, in particular, will have tight integration not only with TIM and TSPM along with the new product, but we'll also, as an example, give actionable in-context exits in TSIM reports, so you can send some remediation alerts rather than just relying on manual review of reports. And then finally, we'll also have a new privileged identity management product that's yet to be named, which will help manage shared IDs and have those automated check-in and check-out of passwords. And it will really, round out, not only the administration, but also, complement the access control and user activity monitoring for privileged users that's available today. So as you go to slide 23, as you look back here and go forward for Q4, I think it's really critical that you inform all your TIM customers about this new functionality that were delivered in this past week around role modeling and role management assistance, and really showcase the value you can provide them. I think it also provides a great opportunity to accelerate TIM 5.1 upgrades and also to expand the existing usage of TIM to cover more targets as customers look to leverage roles to simplify that process. Again, what is the main reason that many customers are going to role management? It's often to expand their user provisioning deployments so that they can leverage a lower number of objects and roles to manage those, as it can become quite, you know, can become cumbersome as you look to do that directly through a user to provisioning access. And finally, I think it's important to leverage these as a, you know, both the role management and modeling assistance as a means really to showcase our IAM governance vision and any upcoming content to Whitespace customers to give them a view in what we're doing. You know, this isn't a, we're investing aggressively in this space, and certainly see that you know, that in some instances we have a clear you know, view of what not only what our customers can expect themselves of IBM, that is, but also specifically within identity access management, you know, role management itself with the acquisition of Oracle and Sun. There's a lot of indecision with many customers out there. Leverage this to make sure you can showcase our vision and our capabilities, and you have something tangible that we can show them of what we're doing. Thank you very much for your time. If there are other questions or comments, feel free to reach out to me, and we'll follow up appropriately.